Extra Life Radio episode 173 is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com. Use Life1, Life2, or Life3 as your codes, and you can save money on your next.com, hosting service, and all kinds of other stuff at GoDaddy.com.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South.
Jill!
This is Extra Life Radio.
I was looking for you.
Barry.
Jill.
Oh, hey, wow, look, hey, ho, ho, hey, what's going on? Hey, this is Extra Life Radio. How's it going, everybody? Good. This is Scott Johnson. Welcome back to the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com, the webcomic blog, and everything else geek-tastic, geek-tacular. I can't think of any more words with the derivative name geek, so I won't do it. Welcome back to the show, one and all. We have kind of a weird one today. Let's just jump right in. Today is Thursday. What day is it? 28th of 2008. And normally we have a big panel instead. We have one guy. Here's the story. O's grandmother turned 80 today. That's pretty old. Actually, I think that's like double the life expectancy of your average Colombian. And so she's rocking it at 80. And O had to go to this birthday thing. So he's not here. And that's fine because that's family. That's what you should do. Gosh dang it. That is where he should be, not here. So in lieu of not having O, normally would have Brian, but Brian apparently has the flu to some hideous degree as to have knocked him out completely with the medication they gave him. So he is like half dead on the couch, not really half dead, but he's not, you know, in any sort of shape to do a show. So you might ask yourself, is this bizarro world? Could it be possible that Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe of The Instance, another show that we co-host together, is right here on the show? And the answer would be yay. Randy, welcome to Extra Life Radio this week. How are you?
Yay, therefore, I am fantastic. I will be carrying as much of the load as I can for both of the missing parties that you just named.
As missing,
I will attempt to both drop as humorous a bomb as I can when necessary, as well as give you the peasant point of view from south of the border.
Excellent. Please do that. We would love that. So if you can both be the silent type like Brian and the loud, obnoxious Mexican type, like, oh, that would be great if you could do that.
Hi, this is Randy Deluxe, and I am happy to be here.
Oh, good. Okay, so for those who don't know, there's got to be some that don't. If you don't listen to The Instance, Randy and I do that show. It's for World of Warcraft. You might be thinking you're having, like, weird deja vu and that that's what this show is. That is the last, officially last reference we'll make to the game of World of Warcraft in this entire hour or so of show.
Can I make references to other games?
Yes, we're going to have to at one point because we got some of that
right
in our notes.
But right, okay. There will be cake at the end of this show, I promise.
Yes, someone's been playing Halo. But here, or not Halo, freaking Halo. Damn it, Portal.
Okay.
So welcome, Randy, and thanks for being here. Now, some would say, well, Randy's here a lot. Well, he is. He's like the kind of the movie guy. We usually bring him in second half of the show, talk about the latest goings-on in the world of films, specifically the kind of stuff we're into, so... Yeah, it's not like he's new to this, folks. It's just going to be kind of weird with two of us. So we're just going to do the best we can and try not to, you know, talk about wow. we'll do our best. All right, well, let's get going here. I got a couple of things I want to get out of the way, like I try to do every show. We still get plenty of, hey, I'm getting married, or hey, we're having an anniversary and stuff. And I didn't do any of them last week because we were so just piled up with stuff. So... I want to do the following. Neil Monahan wanted me to tell everyone that his brother Kevin's birthday is coming up last Sunday, I guess it was. So happy last Sunday birthday.
Okay.
Let's see. Then this last one, Jeff R. from Massachusetts. He and his girlfriend had an anniversary. And I guess it was today. That would have been the 20th. And they've been together for 3 years. Happy anniversary. There you go. There's a couple more, but we'll save those for next week. Did I just burp? randomly? Is it
right into the mic too? It was like you aimed your mouth directly at the mic.
Excellent. Welcome to everyone in the chat room. We have quite a few people here, minus one that irritated me, so I banned him. The likes of Scott Fletcher are in the room, which makes me always a little nervous because I actually think he is lord of all podcasting, and whenever I do a show, I feel the weight of his gaze.
Oh, right, right. So that's like when you're running for president in the 90s and Reagan shows up.
Yeah, it's a little like that, a little bit like that. And he tells me to tear down my wall like I'm some kind of bastard. Anyway, I just feel his presence. That sounds really stupid, but it is good to see him. And good to see everybody else. We have a lot of you in there so far, 134 to be exact. I'm sure that'll grow throughout the hour. And thanks for all your nice things you just said about those who are ill or away at 80-year-old grandma parties.
Yeah, that was so nice. So many wonderful, pleasant comments.
Absolutely. Can we do a little bit of news today, Randy?
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do that. Now, I got to decide how to start this because what I normally... Well, I'll play the music. I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, of course. But what I'm a little nervous about is what I'm about to announce as the first thing in the news. I know I'm going to take some heat for this, and I know that there are going to be some who are going to... I don't know. Actually, I don't know exactly what their reaction is going to be, but I guess let's play the news, and then let's do it.
ELR News.
So you're just like Brian.
Oh, I forgot he does that.
Yeah, he does that every time.
I'm not trying to. I'm really not trying to impersonate him. But that you got to understand. Unless you're Obsidian, you have to sing along to that music. You have to.
You do. I absolutely agree. So Brian has set the standard. We must follow what he's done.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. To lead off on the news, I have some scary admission to make. Not scary, but all right. Those who know the history of the show have known this to be true of me. In the early days of the PS3. When it was announced, as it got closer to its launch and at its launch, I have been relatively critical of Sony for their initiative on getting the PS3 into people's homes. My problem with it is still true today. I actually have the same problem with it. But my basic premise was this. So far, you're not giving me games that I must absolutely have no matter what, come hell or high water. That's still true for me, although, well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. My complaint was that this was their way of establishing Blu-ray as a standard for the next generation optical format, despite the competition from digital downloads and other options and things like that. And even though I didn't really care, the technology's fine. I didn't really care who won that little war. I just didn't like that there was a war in the first place, and I just wanted somebody to throw up the white flag and say, all right, well, let's work together or whatever, kind of like the DVD era went. Which was nice, I have to admit. Everyone kind of settled and they moved on. So, but I was like, well, you know what? There's tons to play on my 360. I got lots of games to play there. My DS is keeping me well fed. I really don't need a PS3. They're not giving me a compelling reason, especially at the initial launch price, to pay for one. Okay, so let's fast forward. I've been waiting to see what would happen with the next gen HD format. With HD DVD finally kicking the bucket and Toshiba making it official, it became clear to me that if I wanted to get high-def optical media, the way I would get it is with Blu-ray. And again, I didn't care who won. They were basically same technologies. One might have more storage in the case of Blu-ray. One might have more online features or something in the case of HD DVD. But the quality of the picture and all that stuff, same, 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 mix, same.
Okay? Did you see, by the way, that Microsoft dropped the price of the... stand beside HD DVD player for the 360.
To what? What do they drop it to?
They cut it in half.
Oh my gosh, that's seriously. Lower than I thought they were going to do. That thing will upscale DVDs, won't it?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I should have said they cut it more than in half. The last time I saw a price before the big fall was something like $174.99, something like that.
Good gravy.
And now it's $50.
Wow. All right. Well, get them while you can.
But what a deal. $50 gets you something in 3 months you won't be able to use at all.
Well, it'll still play your DVDs, but that really isn't the point now, is it? Or you'll have to go buy some closeout HD DVDs. But the thing is, I didn't really care who won. I wasn't interested in the war, but I was interested in whichever format prevailed. And I finally bit the bullet and bought a PS3. And I've been teasing a lot of ELR people and Extra Life people for a while now, going, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I actually admitted to this on Infendo last week. And for those who listen to that, they kind of knew. I bought it with a remote, Bluetooth remote, and no games. I quickly changed my Netflix to include every time a movie I could get was available on Blu-ray, that it would switch to that. Right. And that's what I've been doing with it.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question for you, and I have a suggestion. Which do you want first?
I want the question, then the suggestion.
Okay, good, because the question goes kind of backwards in this discussion.
All right.
Do you already have now an idea of what's coming that you're interested in?
On the PS3?
Yes.
I have some idea, yes. I'll tell you right now what I'm interested in. Can I tell you that?
Yes, please.
All right. I'm highly interested in hiding in a barrel and pooping and throwing up and also reading pornography in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Guns of the Patriots. That's
Guns of the Patriots. So I'm looking forward to that. And I will say that I'm also very much looking forward to Home. The more I see of that, the more interested I am in it. I actually think it's one of the things that will be a huge boon for Sony. I really do.
You do?
I do, because, actually.
Because by and large, it's not getting a lot of run in the in the gamer community.
It's not, but after what I saw what they're doing with existing games. So for example, this is kind of cool. I have to admit, this is kind of cool. And we'll talk about what this. Well, anyway, let me say this: it is possible now with Home, when people get it, if you own Drake's Fortune, or even if you don't, I don't know actually how this works, but you could be walking around in in Home.
Right.
And you and friends can walk into the same virtual world of all the Drake's Fortune levels, free of any harm or whatever, and walk around in these big, beautiful places and just sort of hang out.
I heard this.
Yeah. What was the other one? It was like Warhawk. Oh, this was awesome. In Warhawk, if you have Warhawk on your PS3, which is the only game I have, by the way, I downloaded it, and it's lots of fun. It is. It's really great. I like it. It's the only game you have. Yeah, it's the only game I have. But and I've got a Gamefly account, so I've got some things coming there. But anyway, nothing else I've purchased. But anyway, so you can go apparently into like a war room in Home, and what you get in front of you is like a big strategy, like a big strategy table, like they have in the movies. You know, like we've got to cut Hitler off at the chode or whatever. And they've always got their little boats, and they're pushing them around with those sticks and stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Little shuffleboard sticks?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a stereotype in a lot of movies. Well, apparently you can get into the room, and before you on this table will be a completely accurate 3D rendering of the actual map that you and your clanmates are planning to play that night. And you have on there little ships and little jeeps and little dudes, and you can push these around and talk strategy, like literally talk the strategy you are going to follow that night. You two are going to take jump jets over here. You two are taking this road, and I want you on the flag and these guys doing defense. And that's got to be a kind of a cool thing, you have to admit.
That I have always said someone's going to eventually perfect a game where you get together with people in the game and plan to play a game and not actually do anything but plan to play a game with your friends.
Yeah, so there's some real intrigue for this for me. But so to answer your question, barrel pooping and that and Home are the two things that are really on my radar. I guess that one with a little what's that one, like a Little Big Planet, looks interesting.
Okay.
There are a few others that kind of catch my eye. Most of the stuff that I'm really interested in is multi-platform anyway, and you know, depending on which platform it performs better on, that's probably the one I'd get. Like, you know, GTA 4 is better on the 360, well then by gum, that's where I'll play it.
Okay, but You're proving a point here, and that is by not naming a bunch of games that people should be really on the, you know, excited about. You're proving that they still haven't gotten the awareness out for this thing. In over a year, we're still in a state where you're not hearing a lot about Disgaea 3, about Haze, about Little Big Planet, like you said, you know?
Yeah.
Why? Why are people not just clamoring for Devil May Cry 4 came out. Friends got it. They'd keep telling me they love it. Great, great, great. But I don't hear a lot, you know? Yeah. I don't know what other game since, I guess, Call of Duty 4 before that is coming along that people are talking about.
Well, plus and that game is totally multi-platform anyway, so it's almost like, well, all right, if it's that great and I've already got a 360, then why do I need to buy a PS3? It kind of goes to your point.
Well, you need to buy a PS3 for Metal Gear Solid 4, yeah. I think.
Yeah, no, that one you do. You're right. But when you're talking about, I thought you were talking about, oh, I thought you said Devil May Cry 4.
Right. Well, there's that too. That because that's already out. I just brought that up because I actually know someone who got it, but I only know one person. I don't know. I should know a dozen people who got Devil May Cry 4 on the PS3 and are telling me about it.
Yeah.
And I don't. It's just a Star Wars: The Force Unleashed is going to be has potential to be the kind of game you should want your PS3 for.
Yeah. True.
Why aren't we hearing about it? Talking about it? Why isn't it all over the place? Yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't. Totally understand it either. I will say I have some interest in the new Wipeout downloadable game because I'm a huge Wipeout head from way back in the day, and I'm never disappointed with Wipeout games except for Wipeout Fusion. No, Fusion on the PS2, I think it was that game kind of was lame, but everything since and before I love. Oh, I love the Wipeout. Bring me the Wipeout. So I want to establish this right up front. I have no specific Sony bias. In particular, other than I'm saying that I think they've made mistakes this generation that have been way too focused on winning a format war and relying too much on success of the last 10 years, thinking that that will get them through this. And I think that was a mistake. They are going to sell a hell of a lot of PS3s now with the format war the way it is, because if you're going to go buy a Blu-ray player and $10 mortgage you a PS3 over some other Blu-ray player, you're going to do that. And this, in my opinion, is a win for Sony, but it's only a win because they won. In other words, had the 360 had the foresight to install HD DVD drives in their box in the 360 from day one, that was a built-in drive, meaning that was their optical drive, not what they ended up doing, we would be having a totally different conversation, I believe.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think that's the would have made a much bigger effect, made this thing be more prolonged.
Yeah, for sure.
But I know that I personally sided with Blu-ray on many points, and one of them was the fact that Microsoft sided with HD DVD. You know?
Yeah, and well, you as an Apple hater would be happy to know that Apple was always backing Blu-ray. So that's, I guess that means something. I don't know what that means.
It does, actually. the point was that HD DVD had the capacity to go on for a much, much longer time without being writable by me.
Good point.
And I always loved the idea that pretty quickly after the price points came down, I might be sitting here with a Blu-ray drive in my PC making my Blu-ray discs to go watch on my huge television.
Yeah, which is okay. Awesome, which is all sorts of awesome. So Agreed. Do you see this as a win for Sony, or is this not a big deal?
Yeah, I think I think the people who wanted the whole Blu-ray and games combo are out there with their PS3s already. I mean, they're already in the home. I don't think there's a bunch of clamoring to go buy a PS3 now that Samsung has given up on HD DVD.
Yeah.
I think the sales numbers will just continue to rise from month to month as they have been for PS3.
So
I think that's it.
Do you think this is just so who's lucky here? Is Blu-ray lucky or is Sony lucky with this change in the wind?
Blu-ray is lucky.
Not Sony, you say. Interesting.
No. No, because Blu-ray is the reason that Sony is where it is with the PS3, not the other way around. The PS3 didn't make Blu-ray. No. People would have bought what they bought regardless. But Blu-ray really did make the PS3. I mean, Blu-ray is very fortunate to have won this war. Very few people a year ago would have expected that it was this decisive by this point. And it's got to do with a lot of things that are not the PS3 winning the war for Blu-ray.
Yeah, good point. If I was AC/DC, I would say, who made who? Which is really stupid. Anyway, so there you go, PS3 news. I actually own one now. I'm not really, I'm not burying myself in games or anything. I did get Drake's Fortune, played through it a little bit. It is actually a pretty great game. And if you're a fan of Tomb Raider at all, it's kind of awesome. And I'm pretty impressed with it. Is it the kind of game that I think you would drop everything and buy a PS3 for? No. I don't, unfortunately.
Now I have a suggestion for you also. It's a single, simple DLC game that you must go get tonight on your PS3. You will thank me tomorrow.
Is it Stardust HD or something? What is it? Oh, no, it's that
pain.
Weird...
it's Pain.
Pain, the one where you chuck Pain. The dude and hit the buildings and stuff.
Get Pain.
All right.
It's been out for like 5 months, and they finally updated it this past week.
Dude, you know what I got to do? You reminded me. There's a new orthodontist down the road. I got to take my camera there tomorrow and get a picture of the sign. The place is called Pain Orthodontics.
You're kidding.
No, it's Pain like P-A-Y-N-E, but it's just a riot, dude.
Where I grew up, there was, I'm not kidding you, a family whose last name was Bogus, B-O-G-G-U-S,
yeah.
And they had a Ford dealership, I swear to you, called Bogus Ford. And everywhere you go, you would see cars that said Bogus Ford on the back of them.
Bogus Ford.
Yeah, seriously, it's the strangest thing.
I love it. All right. Dingus Ford. Bogus, Dingus, anyway. That's an inside inside joke between me and the chat room.
That's right. Scott, get Pain, please.
I'm getting pain. Right now, I feel pain. All right, so there's that. I was going to tell people about the piece of glass that got caught in my foot and they had to dig out with a sharp object at the doctor the other day, but I thought I would spare everyone that. And now that I've said what it is anyway, we may as well move on. Okay.
Did they give you some sort of little anesthetic before?
No. Here's what he did. He sat me down. He says, well, there's a reasonable chance that this is actually a planter's wart, which I'd never heard of.
You've never heard of a planter wart?
No. The first time I heard of a planter wart, all I could think of was like old women. Like old, like 80-year-old women doing their laundry and... you know, whatever they do, watching their programs. That's what I picture with a planter's wart. And so I immediately got all defensive, like, dude, I don't have no planter's wart. What am I? You know, I'm only in my 30s. Come on, give me a break. He says, no, these are kind of common. A lot of people get them. And then I remembered right then my daughter, who's only 10, she's had two of them. I just didn't know they were called that. And anyway, long and the short of it, we're still not sure whether it was that or some foreign object. So he did this thing where he put some sort of acid on it that will either draw the object out or kill the planter's wart. It's supposed to have like this dual functionality.
Now I'm confused. I thought you said there was digging going on.
Oh, there was digging. So here's what okay, I forgot about that part. So he sat me down, pulled off ye old sock. all right. Okay. He did that. And then I said, all right. Go to town there, Uncle Jeebus. So he pulls off the sock and he says, oh, yeah, we're going to need to get into this. I'm like, what does that mean? So he goes and gets these big goggles with these like amazing, you know, long eyeball things that I don't even know what you call it. But he could see way into my foot and he turned off all the lights and had this one spotlight on my foot. And it's the heel of my foot, by the way.
Okay.
And he gets out this what looks like an X-Acto knife I'd use in high school art or something. And honestly, and then he starts scraping it and digging in it, and he ends up basically carving it out until it starts bleeding, which was gnarly in its own right.
And this is without an anesthetic. I just want to make sure we're clear.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, and he's saying, do you feel anything yet? Well, I go, well, I feel the generalized affliction, if that's what you're saying. He goes, no. I mean, do you feel me like hitting the edge of a piece of wood or of glass or something? I'm like, no, but I'm not sure I could tell because the overall pain is maybe blocking everything else out. I mean, it was really hurting. So he finally finishes digging at it and he says, all right, now there's this plant in South America and it has this one property where if you do this certain thing or whatever, it excretes this kind of acid. And the natives there figured out if you put that on the zubba zubba, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line was that it would kill these planter warts or something. And the witch doctors used it all the time. And so modern medicine, the white man, figured out how to synthesize it. And this is what I'm putting on your foot now. I'm like, shmeet. Wow. I was freaking out. I was like, what is this? Suddenly I'm getting witch doctor pee or whatever it is. So he dabs it on with a little applicator. And it hurts. It's burning immediately. And I start kind of not freaking out, but I start, you know, I'm just, this hurts. And he says, well, it will for a while. So then he finishes with that. Meanwhile, it's still these goggles with the one spotlight. It's like this weird, you know, marathon man nightmare kind of experience. And he goes and he gets a dressing, what do you call it? A What's it called? It's like the Band-Aid part that's sticky, but big pieces of it.
Okay, it gets gauze.
Yeah, it's a kind of, but it's not even gauze. It's just like the tape. And I think he screwed up because Randy right here seems to have a better grasp of the medical profession, because you would get gauze and you would put it there and then you would wrap the foot in this other stuff. Well, I think he forgot the gauze or the freaking cotton or whatever it is they put there. So instead, he just went right with the glue strip, like with the tape, and wrapped my foot directly to the tape. And at the time, I was going, I don't know if that's right.
Okay, I will say this. If you've got an actual foreign body, a very, very small foreign body in your skin, tape is not a bad way to get it out. So he may have been thinking, well, maybe when my patient here pulls his tape off, whatever it's sticking to is going to come out with it.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I got this horse glue making its way into my freaking bloodstream. You know what I mean? So I was freaking out, and then when I got home, it's really hurting now. I mean, it really hurts. So I kind of limp in. My hip hurts now because I'm limping. Now I really feel like an 80-year-old woman with a plantar wart. And finally, I can't believe I'm telling this whole story. I wasn't even going to tell it. But finally, this morning, he says, now keep this dressing on all night. And I said, all right. And so this morning I got up and I had to take a shower, so I decided to take it off in the shower thinking, well, it'll be wet and easier to get off and I won't be yanking it off. It didn't matter.
You told this whole story just to get to the shower scene. I knew it.
Dude, there's always a shower scene. Always. That's how I roll. So I pull this thing off and about 50 hairs come off with the stupid tape, and that hurt.
Wait, whoa. You have hair on the bottom of your feet?
No, the top, because he wrapped it around the whole top.
And you have hair on the top of your foot?
Well, yeah, like your where your leg meets your ankle. You know what I mean? There's hair there, isn't there? Yeah, there's hair.
All right. He was overzealous with the wrapping. All right.
You're like an albino or something. You got no hair down there. But anyway, so he tears it. I tear it off. All this hair comes off. And sure enough, it's excruciation nation as I'm trying to pull it off of this now blistering, you know, gobutit or whatever a word is that would work there. There's this huge, like, it was like something you'd see it on the mud pots at you know, in freaking Montana or something. It was this weird looking mound. And anyway, now it's all weird. Still looking at all day, it hurt like crazy. And I still, to this minute, do not think I should have had raw tape on whatever it is I have. So anyway, there you go.
So
that's totally old guy stuff.
Excruciation
Nation.
And I've got gobutit. And I just don't even know what to make of this. For starters, I'm wondering, is this the same doctor that found the crayon up your nose?
No, that's a Simpsons episode. You got me confused.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. Well, I'm just glad they put it back in as far as it needed to go.
Yeah, they did. They put it right back and I'm fine now. But we'll see. I'm actually looking at it right now. I'm very displeased with the results.
You're looking at your foot right now. You are an amazing podcaster, my friend.
I know, it's amazing. I can still speak. I can still talk. It's all good.
Do you know how many things I'd have to move out of the way to look at my foot right now?
How many? Oh, you know what? I just thought of a great transition. We got more news, and because speaking of gnarly feet, did you know that Billy Connolly is in the new X-Files movie?
You know, it certainly looked like him.
I'm told it is, but I'm not 100% sure either. It looks like him, doesn't it?
I'm guessing that's Billy Connolly or someone doing a sort of bad guy impersonation of Billy Connolly.
Because keep in mind, this trailer or teaser was shown at WonderCon and was captured on somebody's handy cam, and so it's not exactly the best footage, but from what I can tell, that is Billy Connolly, and he does seem to be some sort of bad guy, best I can see.
Yeah, and who needs to dig in the ice.
Yeah.
Are we talking about this now?
Yeah, let's talk about this movie, because this came out of nowhere. We were talking about this before the show. It's like, okay, here's your trailer. Oh, guess what? It's coming out in July.
We're what?
Like, whoa, dude, freaking slow down. And you know what? This is like the Indiana Jones movie. The thing was, what, last week when they did the trailer? And that game...
It was a teaser. It was just a 20-second teaser.
Yeah, a short teaser. And that movie is slated for June something.
I don't understand. I am shocked when I realize that their scheduling of production and release is now so compressed that we don't get a full trailer until less than 10 weeks before the movie opens.
Yeah,
when do they have time to do scoring and editing? I don't understand anymore.
Well,
it's amazing.
You know what? That's a very interesting point. And I was listening to the very excellent, I got to give a plug here, to the new MajorSpoilers.com podcast. You guys have got to go check out that show. If you're a nerd about comic books at all and kind of popular culture in general and how comic books kind of fit in all that, you'll really like this show. It's very well done. And Major Spoilers is an old friend of the Extra Life world anyway, but it's really great. But they were talking about this very thing in reference to the little anime, kind of animatrix sort of style Batman thing they're going to do. It's like 4 or 6 episodes, something like that. They're like little animated episodes. They're kind of anime-ish, whatever. I love the Animatrix, so I'm pretty excited about this. However, they're airing them not until 10 days before Batman hits the theater. So it's literally like a week and 2 days or something. That does not seem like enough time to take that in for most people.
I know. I really don't. I don't get it. Did you? By the way, did you also see that Exhibit is in the new X-Men, X-Files movie?
No. Who?
The rapper, Exhibit.
Oh, there's a rapper named Exhibit?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Dude, my rapper knowledge is very limited. It kind of started and ended with, like, Run DMC.
He was in the second Triple X film. Okay, never mind.
No, I know who he is.
Yeah. Anyway, Exhibit. I just think it's funny because he's, like, the worldwide complete opposite of Billy Connolly.
Yeah, that's true.
These two guys couldn't be any more different.
Okay, you know what, though? Mos Def can be in more stuff. I like that guy. And he's a rapper.
You know, I saw that movie, Be Kind, Rewind.
What did you think?
It was okay.
Oh.
It was not great.
Oh.
And part of it was that Mos Def was badly directed, and that's a shame, because I think the director of the film, Michael Gondry, is pretty good.
Yeah, he did the spotless chest of Harry Met Sally, or what's that called?
One of the greatest films of all time, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
He is really good, but he just didn't know how to direct Mos Def. And you know, what's funny is you can kind of just let Mos Def go off like he did in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And he was overly and very, very tightly reined in this film. And Jack Black really wasn't, but he also didn't have a very well-defined character. And it was just... It just didn't work. In the end, I felt like, man, that could have been such a great movie. And I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a lousy feeling.
Yeah.
Well, see, there you go. I don't know.
Okay, but I'm excited.
I'm sad that movie wasn't awesome. And I trust your opinion on most of the things you see, and that one concerns me because I really was looking forward to it.
Well, anyway. I always want to tell people when they say that, don't trust my opinion. My opinion sucks as much as anyone else's. But I do feel like it's okay on a broad sense to trust the opinion of a lot of critics. I'm for the most part, when 90% of the critics agree one way or another, they're right. For the most part, there's still going to be exceptions, even for me. But you know, when 90% of the critics say this movie stinks, it probably does, and that's not the case with Be Kind, Rewind. It's more like half and half.
Yeah.
So there's maybe you will like it. If half the people seeing the movie like it, maybe you're in that half.
Okay, now are you excited about an X-Files movie? Another one? I'm personally very pumped because I was a diehard X-Files guy. Sunday night was where I was. Every Sunday night was watching that show. And I even liked it in the season when Duchovny wasn't there. And the T-1000 was there instead or whatever.
Yeah, I do not like the episodes missing Duchovny. David Duchovny, for me, doesn't just play God. He's not just playing God.
Yeah.
He is Dr. Eugene Sands. I'm sorry. I just got off. That was going way out. I love the Duchovny. I don't like the episodes without Duchovny. I love the movies. I can't wait to see a second movie. Chris Carter was just so consistent, so good.
Yeah, I love that show. So I'm pumped. I'll see it. Billy Connolly in it, bonus, because I love that guy.
Amanda Peet is in it.
Yeah. And by the way, if anyone wants to see a movie that is completely misrated but is also quite awesome, it would be Fido. I loved Fido, personally. And I don't even know how to describe it. You just need to see it. But Billy Connolly's in it. If you're a fan of his, you'll like it. That movie did not deserve an R rating. I do not understand what was going on there.
You need to see Fido to be reminded that Carrie Ann Moss is aging faster than any human ever known to science.
Dude, she looks okay. She didn't look that
bad. She looks fine for someone who looks twice her own age.
You know
it's
what?
Bizarre.
That's right. That's true. Even in The Matrix, she's supposed to be kind of young and hot and energetic. And she is at that age when she made the movie. She just has an old face.
It's bizarre. Admittedly, there was a longer period of time between the first and the second, yeah. Matrix movies. But from the first to the second, she looks like she ages 15 years.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Then you start seeing her in more recent films, then Fido, then you see her again in the Rear Window remake. What was that? Disturbia.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, Carrie Ann Moss, slow down.
Yeah.
She's only 40. She is only 40.
Old lady 40, Moss. Yeah.
40 is like the new 21 now.
I know, dude.
Slow down with the aging. I don't know what. She's spending a lot of time in the sun. I don't know what.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. She's great, though. And I really liked her in Superman 2. She hasn't aged much since then. I'm just kidding. That wasn't her. All right. She was one of those mirror people, right? The three mirror people that came out. And you got the General Zod, and you got your Mute, and you got your Carrie Ann Moss. Get all three.
And what? Stop it. You're killing me. You're making me question what I know about movies and people who make movies.
That's why I do it. That was my goal.
All right. Oh my God.
I think we're going to take a break. When we come back, though, we got lots more to talk about, including some game developer conference conversation. I want to talk about that a little bit. I have a contest this week. I also want to talk about the Oscars and about who won, and then maybe take some calls from the chat room. We'll be right back.
Harvey Pekar, you're listening to Extra Light Radio.
Jill.
All right,
please.
She's married to Stephen Roy?
Yeah.
All right. We're back, by the way, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging in there. Carrie Ann Moss is married to Stephen Roy. I don't know who that is.
I would just like to publicly apologize to the beautiful and talented and only 40 years old Carrie Ann Moss. Who is she's not aging faster than anyone else. And I didn't mean to, Mrs. Roy, I didn't mean to imply that you're somehow ugly. Yeah. And to all of those of you out there who consider yourself older than average, whatever that may be for you,
yeah.
Age does not necessarily equate to a loss of beauty.
Absolutely not. And sometimes it increases it and makes it better.
And just because Carrie Ann Moss is getting an abnormal number of wrinkles doesn't mean that you are. And now I've done it again. Mrs. Roy, please understand, wrinkles can be pretty, and you're taking a stand against plastic surgery, and we appreciate you for that.
You know what I love about movies? You can have a chick like Carrie Ann Moss who's kind of cute and, you know, physical and all that, and she's running around in the full-on, like, PVC bodysuit, right?
That's right. Black rubber bodysuit
the whole time. And on film, you're like, yeah, I kind of like that. But in real life, on the set, everybody's like, who killed a homeless guy and why? What smells like beef? I mean, you know that you just reek inside of one of those things. I mean, you have to. You get out of that and you're like, oh, dude, freaking crack a window now. No offense to Mrs. Roy. I'm just saying.
Can you imagine? Have you ever looked at some things on TV or in movies and gone, "Wow, that must have really stank"? You know?
Yeah, dude, I do that all the time.
And you don't even watch porno. You don't even really get the supreme opportunity to say that.
No, I don't watch porn at all. In fact, I'll tell you what. Whenever I see a dude with big lips. I don't care. Anyone with big lips, like an old guy, older guy especially, but somebody with like big lips.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Johnson coming out of the closet.
I immediately think that that person has like the worst possible breath ever. And I don't even have to come in direct contact with said breath. I just know it to be true.
Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. The past is gone.
Oh, my gosh. Just know that someone with big lips.
Yeah.
But you know, I think I kind of have big lips. I'm pretty sure my breath is acceptable.
You cover it pretty well with your goatee, like Stacy Keach does with his, well, he has a hair lip, but yeah.
Oh, I see. So you're thinking that facial hair has a filtration effect on bad breath.
Well, I mean, that's what I've been told. All right, well, let's move on. We've enough of beating Carrie Ann Moss to death.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about the Game Developers Conference. Now, I know this is old news in that it ended, and you know, in the internet world, you either talk about the information that's hot the day you heard about it, or it's old news. And so I always hesitate to bring up stuff like this or the Oscars and things when it's only a week away. But, dude, 10 years ago, talking about something that happened a week ago would be almost too soon. You know what I mean? It's really changed. It's funny to watch it change, but
it's, you know, what's great is that we're in the very last generation that will ever be able to understand the idea of something taking 6 to 8 weeks to get to you.
One day they'll call us the greatest generation.
Do you remember when everything was 6 to 8 weeks away?
Yeah, everything. Expect 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Okay, sweet. And now it's like, expect 3 days, and if it's not, you'll want to kill us. I mean, it's weird how we want
right.
things so
I
fast.
Ordered my wife ordered a shirt for me on Tuesday, the idea being that we wanted it here for next Tuesday, because I'm in Texas, it's our big Super Tuesday next week, the presidential candidates are all over us. There's a couple of them upstairs right now in my bedroom, and so that she ordered, we found a couple of shirts that we really liked. She got this particular one for me to wear next Tuesday. It's got a Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on it, and it says "Bros Before Hoes." And we ordered this thing on Tuesday.
Yeah,
we ordered it. We placed the order in a website on Tuesday. It was delivered today.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, and of course now I realize it's wildly sexist, and I can't wear it to work.
Well, you know, you think we as this generation would be bothered by the time things take, if they take longer, in other words? Or no, excuse me, that we wouldn't be bothered, but we are still. We may remember it, but we don't want to wait 8 weeks for anything. I don't. Anyway, so what was my point? Oh, Game Developer Conference. Yeah. Game Developer Conference. Am I saying that right? Game Developers Conference? Games Developers Conference?
The Game Developers Conference.
Okay. The GDC. Thank you.
GDC.
GDC happened last, I want to say, was it last week? Yeah, last week.
Yeah, it ended on the 22nd, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right. And as always, there's a lot of hubbub and stuff going on, and every year that E3 isn't the same, this show seems to take on greater importance and more coverage and more press and that sort of thing. I heard the original one, which was held in 1988, it was held in someone's living room, which I love that idea. Anyway, Randy, was there anything about the GDC this year that you gave a rat's flying A about?
There were several things that I thought was pretty cool. The preview of Wii Fit, I thought was pretty interesting. Of course, I'm always keeping an eye out for anything Square Enix is doing.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in Final Fantasy Chronicles. Let's see, Fable 2.
Would a new Final Fantasy only available on the PS3 entice you to buy a PS3?
Absolutely.
Okay. I was wondering what your impetus would be. And I also, I worry, though, that Square Enix would go multi-platform with the next one to take advantage of sales of competing platforms. But who knows?
I could see them doing that. My favorite developer for the last, 20 years is Ki, believe it or not. I don't know why they resonate with me.
Those are the guys that do the giant, the 500 people on the battlefield at once games.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've got Dynasty Warriors 6 that just came out. I may have to get a PS3 for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's come out in the US yet. But actually, it's Metal Gear Solid 4 that would be my major driver. Anyway, getting back to the GDC, a lot of interesting things. Probably the thing that caught my attention the most was Ray Kurzweil giving a speech.
Yeah.
And I would have gone, you know, like if it had been happening in town at the Austin Game Developers Conference, I would have gone to see a Ray Kurzweil talk.
Now, for the uninitiated, this is a very noted futurist writer dude who talks a lot about where we're going to be and how we're going to be doing it and what technology is going to be and all of that. And Before the show, you had some thoughts about some of the stuff he said. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I read two books that he's written. I actually don't know if he's written many more. I read the Intelligent Machines, Spiritual Machines book, and Spiritual Machines gets a little bit it's a little bit over the top. But you know, he's a futurist. He's been on the forefront of a lot of technological changes as a prophet almost for 25 years.
He predicts a lot of things that happen. I would argue, I'm just throwing this out there, that he predicts tons of things, and so when a few happen, he gets noted for it, but there's tons that he never gets right. Am I wrong about that?
I would say he's a lot more he's not like Nostradamus. The guy he has these very specific things that he's talking about that are very realistic, you know. He's not like one of these people who's putting out a book called The Secret and a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know or what. He's not like that. He's very realistic about technology. You know? You and your faces on your video.
I do it to tease the chat room.
You're freaking me out though.
I know, it's a little freaky. I'll turn the video off on and I'll someone called me the Cam Ninja. That is about right.
Okay. Anyway, he gave a bottom line. Ray Kurzweil, futurist. He gives a talk at the GDC and he is talking to and about game developers, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go, "Whoa, well, okay, so what are we talking about here? What about games does a guy like Ray Kurzweil think and know and predict?" And then he didn't really talk about games. And so I was kind of disappointed because he's got a speech apparently right now that he's giving. And it's about how, because of Moore's law, because of what's going on with the advance of technology, that biology and technology are going to come closer together, which a lot of people are predicting, right?
Yes, a lot of people talk about that all the time. By the way, I would actually call it Moore's theory, in my opinion, because I think Moore's law is crap. But anyway,
I agree with you. It can't hold up for one,
yeah.
And it's also very sporadic. Moore's law as an application.
Yeah.
It really should be more something like, if you're going to make a law, just that processing power, computational power is increasing very fast.
Yeah. That seems to be happening. Yes.
Right. Okay. But anyway,
we can all agree on that.
Right. But so anyway, I guess what bugs me about it is that A, he didn't talk very much about games, which is fine, except this is the GDC. And then two, when you are talking about games, stop telling me that games are going to be integrated with every part of my body and I'm going to have computers in my bloodstream. I'm tired of that.
Yeah. It's more science fiction than fact, obviously, because what is the point? In other words, why are we so convinced? Is it because we have some built-in fear that one day we're all going to be zombified or, you know, we're all going to get some weird nanite chip implanted in our neck and everyone will know where we are all the time. And these fears that we get are translating to futurists who are generally, you know, try to be logical about what the future may hold. And they're letting that kind of seep in. Is that why this is happening to this guy? It kind of bugs me, too.
And of course, like I say, when you're trying to be 10 steps ahead of everybody's thinking, right?
Yeah.
That's how you really impress. That's how you get books written. That's how you get people to buy your mutual fund. He's got a mutual fund.
Yeah.
This sort of thing. So I understand. You've got to extrapolate and extrapolate and reach and reach and reach. But he was talking about one thing that he did talk about that had a gaming aspect to it was this idea that when there are computers in our bloodstream, we'll be able to run like an Olympian for 15 minutes, right? Because because they'll have these things called respirocytes in our bloodstream, right?
Yeah.
And you'll be able to sit at the bottom of your pool for hours without taking a breath because of the combination of technology and biology.
Yeah.
And there's a gaming aspect there, right?
A little bit, sure.
I mean, who's going to sit and play PS3 when you and I can go out and run at 20 miles an hour on the street and see who can, you know, who can make it from here to a 10 mile marker in less than 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's awesome. That's great.
If he's so correct about things, when did he say he thought this would happen? Did he say in these speeches, like, did he say, "Yes, and I believe we'll have nanites talking to each other and building crap inside our liver by the year 2010?
Yeah, there were some specifics. For instance, he thinks that nanotechnology is going to solve the entire world energy crisis within 20 years. He said that very specifically.
Oh, brother. He said 20 years. I don't know. It's crazy.
He also said that life expectancy in 15 years will begin expanding again. And when you say something like that, you're talking about a major shift in biology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We kind of plateaued lately on life expectancy the last few decades.
By the way, this is like Science Thursday for everyone who's listening. If you're really into science this week, we're bringing our A game on the science.
And it's a day before NPR's Science Friday.
Yeah.
That's right, NPR.
Yeah, take that.
You guys. We're a whole day ahead of you. We're in the future.
Yeah, take that, you tree-hugging pinkos. I'm just kidding. I love NPR.
So anyway, I thought it was awkward that he was at the GDC because he didn't really talk about games. And for the applications, the ways you could talk about games, he's talking about the combination of biology and technology, which I'm tired of. Everybody keeps telling me that I'm eventually going to hook up my PS3 controller to every part of my body. And then I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have this incredible experience where I'm completely involved. I'm immersed in the game. And then when I have to look at the porno mag whatever Metal Gear Solid 10, I'm going to actually feel something in my nether regions. And I'm tired of that. You know why? Because gaming hasn't changed in my lifetime. I'm still using the same kinds of controllers. I'm sitting in front of the same sort of screen showing me pictures. Yeah. It's not changed. And you keep telling me it's going to change. I'm tired of you telling me it's going to change.
Yeah, it changes very incrementally, but it never fundamentally changes. It's the same. Right. You're right. It's the same experience. Okay, now I'm seeing a billion polygons and I'm shooting stuff that looks real. But I was playing combat in 1990 or 70, whatever, when I was a kid, 77 or something. And that was great, but I was shooting tanks. But really, that experience hasn't changed. Just the level of reality or the level of graphic prowess has changed. And that's it. And the controller. And the controller.
Yeah, I mean that's really what I'm saying. I am not suggesting that there's not going to be major leaps forward in how we're controlling games and so forth, you know?
Yeah.
But it was like 15 years ago that Dennis Miller said, when some punk in New Jersey can get a cassette to make love to Elle Macpherson for 1995, this virtual reality stuff is going to make crack look like Sanka.
Yeah.
It's just not happening that fast. We're just not. You know, like the Wii comes along and everybody's, ooh, now I have a wireless remote and I can wave it around.
Wii Fit is it.
Yes, but you're still using your hand to hold a controller. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the controller's getting built into you tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, it's a good point. I have a feeling some of the chat room people are flipping out saying, it's totally changed, man. And by the way, I don't want the chat room to think that I have anything against NPR. I listen to more NPR podcasts than I do anything else. So relax.
Well, they're half of the iTunes top 100.
I love it. This American Life. You want to listen to a show that's really good and you're sick of our half science talk over here? You guys need to download Radiolab. That is seriously one of the best things ever. I love Radiolab. Anyway, if you love This American Life, you'll love Radiolab. Anyway, it's a little hippie, but what are you going to do? Okay. I was going to tell you what I thought was cool at the Game Developers Conference.
Please do.
Really nothing.
What?
Well, okay. I'm frankly still think that Spore is going to be something special. So I am still very much looking forward to Spore.
Okay.
And to see it finally get a release date, this is all making it kind of come back into the forefront, and I'm excited about it again. I know a lot of people are kind of naysaying and saying, it's been too long, blah, blah, blah. It's been 3 years, folks. A lot of games get much longer announcement cycles and time to get built, so relax. Again, that goes back to the 6 to 8 weeks thing. I think people are just spoiled. But anyway, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for any game where people take the time it needs to get it done right. So that's great. And to have Overlord EA overseeing the whole thing and still being okay with that, bonus. Beyond that, what I was really interested in was the independent development that's going on. And Microsoft's XNA thing they're doing, halving the development. They basically made it so anybody anywhere can make the game. And anybody anywhere can actually sell the game through Xbox Live Arcade. and you'll actually have a profit-sharing system with Microsoft. I think that's a great initiative, and I think it's ahead of its time, or maybe not really ahead of its time, but they are smart to be the first in the console market to make this happen. Yeah. And I'm interested to see what Wii does with WiiWare, and I'm interested to see what Sony does with Home and some of their initiatives. I think some of the console stuff that I heard about was actually pretty exciting. What I was most disappointed about was I didn't see a lot of things on the PC side of things that made me just go, oh my gosh, I can't wait for that.
There was a lot of backwards looking on the PC side. I was really surprised by that. There was a whole session about how Portal went from being what it, you know, not even a game to the talk of the town. And there was a whole session where the CEO of Crytek explained the process for Crysis, which is, you know, it's been out for like 2 months.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we looking back so much? Why aren't we, where's the new hotness that you're supposed to be showing me?
Why aren't we looking forward?
Yeah.
Back. So anyway, good conference though, overall. I think it was okay. And I always look forward to it because it's a little more serious, a little more, less about booth babes, more about concepts and proof of concepts and great ideas, and I think that's a great thing to see every year. So
that's a good point. It is for game developers. E3 is really more for us.
It's for nerds.
Yeah, but oh, by the way, I'm playing Crysis. That game is amazing.
Is it cool? How do you, I mean? Right. Wait, let's do this. Let's play this. I haven't played this in a while. Where is it? I haven't played it so long. I can't find it.
He's so ready on the button.
Hold on. It's
hold
right.
on. I'll say it again. I'm playing Crysis right now.
How were the graphics, Randy?
The graphics are perfect.
Perfect.
It's the closest to perfection of anything I've ever seen.
Holy schmoly, that's big praise right there is what you got the right there.
Graphics are phenomenal.
I'm impressed. I'm totally impressed. So, wow. Okay. Well, we'll certainly have that to look forward to at some point. Story wise and gameplay wise, I mean, what do you land there?
Tired old story.
But a really pretty tired old story.
Right. I'm sorry to say, there's no new ground here. It's a combination of Halo 3 and I better not even give it away. It's a combination of Halo 3 and Metroid. I don't know. It's you're dropped into a part of your sort of tomorrow, Earth of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're dropped onto an island with a team of people who suddenly start getting killed very easily for some reason in your super suit.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out what the heck's going on this island, why there's all these North Koreans there, why are they getting killed? And yeah.
I love the whole Metroid aspect of it though. The suit thing intrigues me.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is interesting to be the first in first person there, but then that also means you don't really get to see yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a shame because I think the star of the game is the suit you're wearing, and you can see it on your buddies. But it's, you know, I wish I was getting there aren't that many cutscenes. It's kind of surprising.
You're a silent dude, like what's his name, like Gordon
like
Freeman.
Snake?
No, like Gordon Freeman, or you don't say nothing. No, Snake talks too much. If you want my money on it.
That's what I was going to say. What I mean is that Snake uses a lot of stealth.
Yeah.
And you certainly can use stealth in this game, but I actually found that the best thing to do is just to get into a truck and drive over people.
Well, good. It's nice to know you can try it the other way if you like. But yeah. All right. Before I get too much further, I want to give a contest away or start a contest. And hang on. I got to grab it off the floor.
What? You don't have to, Scott. It's a podcast. See, you don't have to grab something off the floor to tell the people listening.
But there's sound involved. See,
oh.
So youbuynow.com. You all know them as a fine sponsor of this here program. They do toys and replicas and cool stuff. Here, I'll let the chat room see this. Oh, we're already on. They can see it. this is I got this from youbuynow.com. It is a Star Trek: The Original Series phaser pistol, authentic action, lights and sound, adjustable power settings. Here, listen. See? That's the sound. Yeah, you can shoot stuff like those. What were those things that came through the walls and Spock touched one and it yelled pain for like 10 minutes? What was that? What were those called? Big slab. Oh. Those big slabs of whatever, they burn through the walls and you touch them and they go, pain! Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember it. I can't think of what the...
Anyway,
okay.
Whatever it's called.
I know, but yes,
I can't remember. Rico's probably yelling it into his thing.
Right. If Rico listens to this podcast,
but this is way wicked, awesome, freaking cool. And I want it. This is one I'd love to win myself. So I know you guys are going to want to. I'm going to go ahead and start the contest. I'm going to keep this one easy. I want everyone to send me their favorite Star Trek character and why. They're going to send an email to extraliferadio@gmail.com. And in the subject line, you must put Kirk is the man. No, don't do that. Just say Phaser. Phaser's all you need. Because I don't want to, you know, color your choice of who you think is the best character. But the best character of all the series, of all the movies, of all the whatevers. Bad guys, good guys, doesn't matter. So send that to me. You too could win the Star Trek Phaser pistol with authentic firing action and lights and sound. Warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under three.
Can I tell you what's been on my mind lately? What Star Trek movie's been on my mind?
Do it.
Generations. And I'll tell you why.
Because Generations, Kirk dies with a giant ladder, holding a giant ladder, is that why?
Right, yeah, because they finally wipe out Kirk in that film. Yeah. No, it's because it's about a crazy guy who's willing to kill a billion people, a billion innocent people, just to get into a perfect place, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay, all right, so you got that. At the same time, both Picard and Kirk get into that perfect place, not really intending to, but they get there, and it's not good enough for them. A perfect place that you're willing to kill a billion people for is they're just like, yeah, you know, this is great and everything, but we're so badass in the real world that we'd rather go there.
Yeah, the world needs you. You can't stay possibly in this perfect place where no one will ever miss you and you'll never have a terrible time. That's true. You're talking about that space rift thing, right? The big vagina.
Yeah, it's
space,
called
that
Nexus.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. That the Sorn character, you know, he might go to all this effort of blowing up a sun and killing billions of people and then get there and go, oh, crap, this isn't so perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know what we should do, especially when O can't be here, which is so rare? We should have a whole show about what Star Trek things we love and hate. Because there's tons of fans out there, and he just doesn't know any of it, so he'd be bored. But, you know, I'll tell you what I hated in Generations the most, because Generations is not my favorite movie. Even though it was written by Ronald Moore, who I think is awesome.
He is the best. He's the best writer. And he's got a huge head.
He's
an
enormous head. We don't just mean ego. We mean, like, physically.
Like a long... He has this long head. Yeah. He looks like a gazelle. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's wrong. He has the Ursula and Bator chicks, the Klingon ladies. I don't like those two. They bug
me. You don't like them?
No, because I hate them.
It's because of their fake wooden breasts, right?
You're mixing them up with Khan. Actually, it's true. They have those weird boobies that don't look right.
Yeah. They look like they're carved out of wood and sprayed with Crisco.
Yeah. I don't like those ladies. They bug me. Anyway, so there you go.
So
yes.
What's your what would be the your answer to this this contest question? Scott Johnson's favorite character in the whole Star Trek canon.
My favorite character in the entire canon of Star Trek literature and fine viewing pleasure would have to be
William Riker.
No Riker.
Okay. Fine.
Riker's too I never bought Riker. Like I could never buy that he was such a tough guy. I think he's just a big soft marshmallow. I don't think he was really tough. And I think they tried to sell him as tough all the time. I liked him. I didn't hate him. I just never bought him as what they were trying to portray him as, like the Kirk of the new generation sort of thing. Just never bought that. I mean, I love Picard, and Picard's very close to being one of my favorites. But I think probably if I had to pick my favorite character of all time, it has to go to Khan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love him. I love him in the old black and white thing he was in, when Ricardo Montalban originally played the character in the 60s. And I also love my favorite movie is still Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And I find him just endlessly entertaining and easy to watch. I could watch him 100 times. I think that performance is brilliant. Just love it. Love it. Love it. That's the thing that made me forget Fantasy Island. The only thing that could erase it from my mind was how awesome he is in that movie.
Okay.
How about you? Your favorite?
I would have to pick something from Deep Space Nine because I think they're the most complicated and interesting characters.
There's a lot to like there too. Yeah, there's a lot to like over there.
I'm going to say...
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Okay, because I know I'm going to get it wrong, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
It can't be Dr. Freaking Julian Bashir.
Dr. Bashir. Can't be
him. Can't be him. It's not going to be Odo, because because you can't be on Benson and then be popular later.
Right. Right. And also, Odo is just a different take on Data, so...
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go with... I really liked... I have to tell you, I loved Worf on Deep Space Nine. I thought he was great. Like, it was the best Worf had done.
Right. There was a ton of development of Worf. Of course, you know, he'd been on Star Trek shows for a decade at that point.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's true. He was even in the sixth movie as his great-grandfather or something. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Boy, this is hard. Okay, I'm going to say you're going to say Sisko.
Well, he is ultimately...
The man called Hawk. Oh.
He's ultimately the foil... Well, for everything in Deep Space Nine. But actually, I was going to say Andrew Robinson's portrayal of the character Garak is probably my favorite thing.
Interesting.
In all of Star Trek. And the reason is because, first of all, they somehow get this brilliant, brilliant performance out of him in a character that's completely covered with makeup. But also, the character has all these secrets, like more secrets than you can imagine.
And he's the tailor, the damned space station tailor the whole time.
Right, and secrets on top of secrets. But then there's times when they use Dr. Bashir, of course, to dig into the character of Garak. And there's times when there are these really important, magnificent bits of drama that just come out of nowhere with that character, and I just love that.
The best, but you got to admit, dude, the best Cardassian in all Star Trek history is the one that kept asking Picard how many lights there were so that he could go, there are four lights, that one. You remember that one?
That guy, was the name?
He was the devil in Time Bandits. Like the mean, evil dude with the fingernails and stuff in Time Bandits. I love that guy. And he was in Titanic when the ship split in half and he died in the middle of the ship.
yeah.
And he always reminds me of that guy that's in movies now all the time. He was in the Full Monty, but other stuff too. And he always reminds me of him. Broadbent. Jim Broadbent? No. Jim
Broadbent?
Broadbent?
Is that?
Yeah,
is
it's
right?
Not him, but he reminds me of him. And I always get him mixed up. But anyway, I digress. But that, Star Trek, right, great stuff.
The Chain of Command was the episode, it was a 2-part episode. Called Chain of Command, where Picard gets captured and tortured.
Oh yeah,
that is way up there as one of the best episode or whatever you want to call it. You know, 2-part, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
way up there.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was awesome stuff. I miss Deep Space Nine quite a bit. I know a lot of people that show is a divider. You either love that show or you hate it.
I want to say that was John Durbin. Playing that role, which is that's really reaching. That guy's not done much, but right. But he's amazing, truly amazing.
I think we should take a call or two before we hang it up today. I'm gonna bring in let's bring in the stalker first. And that stalker would be, I'm not gonna answer it. Don't call me, you guys. I'm adding you in. You don't call me. okay, I'm adding in ELR Stalker Extraordinaire. Hello, who is this?
Ooh, I have to mute it. Oh, jeez.
Oh, you sound excellent. Is this Seamus 22?
Oh, yes, it is. And might I say, you're both looking wonderful because I'm stalking you both at the same time through your windows.
That's awesome. You are extremely. You are like the original stalker. ELR Stalker, and so it's
I was stalking you before it was cool.
Yeah, and I feel like the way to really protect ourselves is to actually invite the stalker in to talk at the end of the show.
Like a vampire.
A little bit like that.
Right, keep your friends close, keep your lovers closer.
And keep your Seamus at arm's length.
Right.
So Seamus, I actually know your first name, but you'd prefer me not to use that, would you?
It's kind of lame.
I'll give people an example. It is the name of a popular brand of jeans. No, his name is not Levi.
That's funny.
And his name is not Calvin Klein, nor is his name Polo.
So tell me, Jordache, how are you doing this evening?
They still make Jordache?
I have no idea.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, Seamus, it's an absolute thrill to talk to you. Are you doing good? Are you having a decent night?
I'm having a great night. I had a sandwich earlier.
Wow. I mean, how can you ask for more, honestly?
Yeah, I really can't.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of my favorite Star Trek character. It's hard.
Oh, do it quick. Who's your favorite Star Trek character of all time?
See, I want to say Data, but that's just so, you know, everybody's going to pick somebody big like that.
If you say Tasha Yar, you're not allowed on the show ever again.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, but Bizarro Tasha is actually allowable.
But... She's okay, but Bizarro Tasha is basically just drunk Denise Richards or something. It's not like normal. I don't like her. Do you have a favorite?
Roxana Troy.
Oh, look at you with the camel toe. All right.
With the creator's wife. Very nice. Very always nice sucking indeed. Up, aren't you?
Yeah, very nice. Oh, yes. All right, well, there goes Seamus.
It's because his parents named him Lucky Brand, and I just think that's sad.
I love checking people like that.
Right?
Yes, that is true. Okay, we're going to add one more.
Find someone named Wrangler.
I'm going to add somebody named Ben Chick. He needs to quit calling me, though. Ben Chick. Actually, he's not on my list. All right, Ben Chick, you're out of luck, buddy. Let's add... add who? Should we add Garfunkel?
I'm not making this call, man. You gotta go out on your own limb here.
I'm adding Garfunkel. Failed. User not online. That's always what I like to see. And Brian Densley, this is a friend of mine. Let's add him. He's been on the show one other time. See if he answers. I'll edit out some of this pause.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
sure,
the,
you will.
The little editing I dare you. I do. You dare me to do it? Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll leave it in.
Get Massimo back in here.
Who's Massimo? Oh, jeans. I get it. Get Polo back in here.
Hello?
Hey, Densley.
Dude, how's it going?
Dude, does everyone know in the chat room I have a character in my comic? I haven't used him forever, but he's named after Densley. Did everyone know that? Hey, what are you doing?
Not much. Just sitting here.
You know, you're live on the show right now, you know.
Live on the show, huh?
Yeah, we thought we'd just pull you in and say hi here at the end of the show.
Put me on the spot. I see how it is.
Well, it's just how I roll, buddy. You know how it is. Go ahead, Randy.
The question of the night is, what's your favorite Star Trek character?
Yeah.
Across all Star Trek.
Yeah, of all Star Trek of all time, who is your favorite character of all time?
Oh, Jean-Luc Picard. He's pretty awesome.
Are you sure about that? He's French, maybe a little gay. You sure
about
that?
Well, the French is a little downer, but
he's obviously genetically deficient because he can't grow hair.
You put some Klingon weapons in his hand, and I think we might have a winner.
All right. Yeah, good. I like that. That's one way to put it. Well, thanks, dude. We appreciate your input there tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. He's out of there. Brian's a good man. Yeah. He's a good friend
of
mine.
I can't even say nice to meet you because he's not listening in on Ustream. So.
That's true, which is unfortunate. He had no idea. I totally ninja'd that on him.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that about brings us to the end of another fine episode. Randy, I can't thank you enough for covering for the two normal folks who are normally here. And
right. I could never possibly cover their impressions left in the bed that they've vacated, but
absolutely,
I tried.
Absolutely. Especially Brian's. He's a big guy. not really. I make that up. But thank you, everybody, if you are coming. Thank you, of course, Randy. Thanks to O for having a birthday that made him so he couldn't show up, and now he'll be an enemy forever. Just kidding. Brian, we hope you feel better. Big thanks to the chat room. Thanks, you guys, for being here. Thanks to youbynow.com for not only providing this prize today, but also for being a great sponsor. You can learn more at youbynow.com. Use Extra Life as your code and save 10%. You can also visit our other sponsor. That's GoDaddy.com. You know who they are. Buy your next domain over there. Use codes Life1, Life2, or Life3. And hey, you may just save yourself a little bit of money. So big thanks to them for sponsoring the show. Thanks to everybody who participates, including Scott Fletcher for our voice work, Rob Gehubers for our theme music, Sebastian for our mashups, and everyone else who contributes. We love you all. We'll see you guys next week for show number 174.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Why isn't there more Dean Cain?
My head is enormous.
I could never possibly fill the massive shoes of Brian Dunaway.
The customs people hold your freaking Wii. Screw you, Cyborg Zombie Dog. I'm not so concerned about racing a panzer tank with a horse, but you don't make her walk around the house in the freaking camel toe suit thing that they wear on the show.
Oh.
There was that part where he smacked Short Round around a little bit. I believe he is saying that she is prostituting out her body for her mother to get elected.
Scott, look behind you. Watch out.
Friends like that. Who needs enemies, huh? All I can do is picture Will Riker and Troy getting it on. Not doll, excuse me, action figure. Well, I hope everybody's good looking. I'm not watching it. The heck do you mean? The heck do you mean? Oh, now, Mr. Lundergaard, don't you know?
Oh, I'll watch the show for that guy. They're hard up for names and all, you know?
The Sarah Chronicle Articles. him and that Zimbabwe Gimba Jimby bar.
The wind of the thing is blowing on the stuff, and we all are in the carriage of the blah.
Hey, Extra Life listeners, Chris here, bringing you an obscure movie review of Comic Book the Movie. Starring and directed by Mark Hamill, Donna DeArico, Billy West, Roger Rose, Jess Harnell, Tom Kenny, Laurie Allen, and Darren Norris.
We're really here for one reason and one reason only. And that's because of this guy right here. Everyone has a favorite superhero, but without a doubt, my all-time favorite was Commander Courage by Jackson Whitney.
Everybody was talking about Jackson Whitney and about Commander Courage, and I'm sorry I wasn't here for that time, but, you know, I was off saving America and freedom and making the world safe for comic books.
What made Commander Courage so memorable, the simplistic aspect of it, was that he went out there and he whomped on Hitler.
Now, in response to the tragedy of 9/11, he's been totally revamped as some sort of super anti-terrorist named Codename Courage, and Liberty Lad was transformed into Liberty Lass. A cynical revenge fantasy, the character was now edgy, ultra-violent, and didn't even have a secret identity. And of course, this was the version that finally attracted Hollywood's attention. And thanks to my profile of Whitney in the fanzine, I'd been invited to be a technical advisor on the film. They didn't explain what that was very well.
Comic Book the Movie stars Mark Hamill playing Donald Swan, who is an obsessed comic book fan and high school teacher. But his major fandom into the comic books is based on one character, Commander Courage and Liberty Lad. They went and did a updated version of this comic, named it Codename Courage and Liberty Lass. And Hollywood kind of picked it up and were trying to adapt it into a movie. And they invited Donald Swan to be the technical director, since he's pretty much the uber fan of Commander Courage and everything. And basically, it shows him going to Hollywood and talking with the producers and people who are investing into the movie. And he's also has like an ulterior motive of trying to swing it their way so that they change it into a Commander Courage movie. He even goes so far as to invite Leo Matuzic, which is the, I believe, the great-grandchild of the creator of Codename Commander Courage. And it basically takes place in the San Diego Comic-Con 2002, I believe, and it's just their adventures of documenting the whole process and everything. Comic book fans of this movie are, I'm sure, going to love this. Has a lot of comic book culture in it. Has a lot of cameos from, like, the writers of Batman, Stan Lee, and then various other cameos from Kevin Smith, Hugh Hefner, Bruce Campbell, and a bunch of other people. The plot of this movie really isn't there. This is the kind of movie that you're not really watching for the plot. It's more for all the cameos and just the interactions with them and everything. Also, the biggest plus for this is the two-disc DVD release, and it was only a straight-to-DVD movie release. The second disc has, I think, about an hour or so of just kind of behind the scenes. It introduces a lot of the people in the movie that have also had jobs with voice acting and the like. Overall, I give this movie about a 7, but just because there's really not a whole lot there, it kind of has that cheap, thrown-together look to it. But overall, it's still fun to watch. You can find this title on Amazon.com as well as Netflix, and I'm sure various other online retailers. This is Chris, and this has been your obscure movie review of Comic Book the Movie.
Hey, Extra Life, this is Festworks, and I want to approach something O said a couple of episodes ago where the discussion was, if something you liked looked better, would you like it even more? I believe you were talking about video games or movies at the time, but O brought up an example of where if he could give your wives free and risk-free plastic surgery to make them look better, would you also love them better? I understand his reasoning, but I totally disagree. I'm with my girlfriend because I have an emotional connection with her and already have an attraction to her based on what I already know of and how she presently looks. Obviously, everybody has visual flaws, myself included, but making her look better will not make me love her anymore. I would call that an aesthetic bonus. It really comes down to personality and how well you get along with one another. But looking at video games, if you look at, like, say, Super Mario All-Stars, the original NES games with new updated graphics, does this make you love these old games even more? I highly doubt it. It really comes down to the gameplay and the familiarity of the games of which you played and you originally fell in love with. You could also apply this idea to the remake of the movie Psycho.
Do not attempt to adjust your portable media device. The old geeks are taking over the airwaves. This is Extra Life Radio. Darn it.
Hey, Scott, it's Adam Christensen, and I just had to call because you know how you have those weird, strange, serendipitous, I think that's the right term, serendipitous moment. I'm sitting here listening to the latest episode of Extra Life Radio, and you start talking about the best hamburger in the world and mention In-N-Out is the best fast food burger. As I am in line, I just got an inkling this afternoon for an In-N-Out burger, a double-double. So I am sitting here literally just about to order. Just one of those strange things, and I had to make a comment about it. Anyway, hope you're doing well. Show's great as always, and take care. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Scott, Brian, O. This is TJ again. A few shows back, you were asking why Final Fantasy was called Final Fantasy. Well, back in the day when Square was still making, like, before Final Fantasy, they weren't doing so well. And they were about to go bankrupt, so the head of Square decided that he wanted to release one final game, hence Final Fantasy. Well, it wasn't the final game. That, the original Final Fantasy, got Squaresoft out of bankruptcy, and they've been doing one after the other. Oh, I also wanted to know if you guys have seen Be Kind, Rewind yet. Okay, see ya. Bye.
I am not a crook's head.
Well, there's a reasonable chance that this is actually a planter's wart, which I'd never heard of.